that we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are quiet before you this morning. We sit by your feet. Heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool. We come by you and listen to what you have to say to us. And open our ear that we can hear the wonderful thing that's written, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. And open our eyes that we can see. And open our heart that we can receive it. And not only receive it and hide within our heart so that we won't sin against you. On top of that, we put it into practice by your Spirit so that we be truly blessed. Not only now, but the life to come. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I would like everybody to remember that one thing. Whenever you speak on behalf of God, whenever you plan on behalf of God, and whatever you do on behalf of God, you will face opposition. But when you face opposition, when people slander you, and you prepare to follow the example of Paul in three areas. Make sure when people criticize you, when people slander you, you have a clear conscience. Secondly, when people criticize you, you do not change the gospel. You still preach the gospel. Thirdly, when people slander you, you ask God to be your witness to prove that you are the servant sent by God. These are the three parts. So we just take a look at it. When Paul do the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, sent by Jesus, by the will of God, to write this letter to explain to those people who criticize him and who slander him. And so make sure that we learn these three lessons. Lesson number one, when people criticize you, you got to examine your own heart, examine your own conscience to see whether you have a clear conscience. Verse 12. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially in our relations with you in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. When you claim that you have a clear conscience, you have to ask yourself, is that clear conscience, is that come from God? And Paul said that we have conducted ourselves in this world in the holiness and sincerity that come from God. Some people, they shear their conscience. They cover up their conscience. Their conscience is not clear. But Paul said that whatever he planned with a clear conscience. I want you to take a look at what the Old Testament has said in the book of Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 12, verse 5. The plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. Whatever you plan, make sure it is just. What does it mean by make sure that it is just? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but for the good of others. Whatever you plan, you not just plan for your own good, you plan for the good of others. That is just. That is what the Lord wants. So that's why King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5, the plan of the righteous are just. The plan of the Apostle Paul are just. Because he planned it, he's not seeking his own good, he's seeking the goods of the church of God in Corinth. So he did it in the holiness and sincerity that come from God. Holiness and sincerity that come from God. You write down Proverbs 12:5. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. That are the guidelines. That are the holiness and that are the sincerity that come from God. That's how Jesus Christ did things. When he did it not for his own good. He did it for the glory of God and for the glory of those people who believe in him. So when people criticize you, make sure you examine your conscience to see whether you did it for the benefit of the other people. I read that one more time. Now this is our boast. When you have a clear conscience, then you can boast about that. But when you boast about that, you give glory to God, because that clear conscience, that holiness, that sincerity, that integrity come from God. Because without God helping Paul, Paul cannot do it. No one can do it. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 13. Verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spot? Neither can you do good, who are accustomed to doing evil. We're getting so used to do evil, is it impossible for us to do good, unless it is the Lord who is helping you. Paul said that I have a clear conscience, I can boast about that, because that integrity, that sincerity, that holiness that helped me to do what God wants me to do is all come from God. He gives all the glory back to God. Paul not only conduct himself in this world in the holiness and sincerity that come from God, he conduct himself in his relationship with the brother and sister in Corinth in the same way. His life is consistent. And then he said, we have done so. We conduct ourselves in this way, with sincerity, with holiness, with integrity, not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. It's God helping him. Worldly wisdom is by sight. God's grace is by faith. Right beside that, I want you to write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. We live by faith, not by sight. The worldly people live by sight. But the godly people live by faith. We live, that means we have conducted ourselves in this world. We have conducted ourselves in relations with you. We have done so, not according to the worldly manner, but according to God's way, God's grace. Is God helping him? Without God's help, we can't do it. Right beside God's grace, I want you to write down 1:16 Gospel of John. From the fullness of his grace, we all can receive one blessing after another. How can we continue to receive God's grace? When you face persecution, you examine your conscience, examine your heart. If things that needed to be changed, you change it. If what you have done with a clear conscience is God wants you to do it, you keep on doing the same thing that God wants you to do without wavering, then He will give you more grace. And He will enable you to do it. I also want you to write down Galatians 5:25. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, we live by the Spirit means you are saved by the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit telling you that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Son of God? Then Paul say, let us keep in step with the Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit. And that's grace upon grace. Salvation by grace. Now you live a holy life, a life with sincerity, with integrity, is also by grace. If you live in a worldly way, by the worldly wisdom, then you are not God's servant. In Galatians chapter 1, when Paul faced persecution and Paul keep on trying to please God, Galatians 1:10, am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said that we have conducted ourselves in this world not according to the worldly wisdom. Although he lived in this world, but not in the worldly wisdom. Conduct themselves in this world according to God's grace. Well, right beside worldly wisdom, take a look of what James said about worldly wisdom, and take a look at heavenly wisdom, a wisdom from God. James, chapter 3, verse 13 all the way to 18. Two kinds of wisdom. One is worldly, one is heavenly. One is unspiritual, one is spiritual wisdom. One is rely upon your own flesh, try to please people. Another is rely upon the Holy Spirit, try to please God, to be a faithful servant of God. You look at all the politicians, majority of them are worldly wisdom. They try to please man because they want man to vote for him. Verse 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deed done in the humility that comes from wisdom. If the spiritual wisdom give you humility, that is spiritual wisdom. For the book of Proverbs said that humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth, prosperity, and life. And the worldly wisdom bring God's wrath upon your life. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do things, plan things, intending to do it for your own good, not for the good of others, that is worldly wisdom. Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from the heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. come from Satan. Their wisdom come from Satan, which is the worldly wisdom, and their wisdom come from the Holy Spirit. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. James talked about spiritual wisdom and unspiritual wisdom, worldly, earthly wisdom, and heavenly wisdom, Satan wisdom, and God wisdom. And Paul said that we have conducted ourselves in this world, and especially in our relationship with you, not according to worldly wisdom, not trying to please man, but to please God, according to God's grace. Verse 13. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. I want you to write that down. There are three levels of understanding. Everyone will go through that. The first level is no understanding. Second level is partial understanding. The third level is full understanding. When you are non-believer, you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, you have no understanding of what is written in the scripture. But when you receive the Holy Scripture, listen to the sermon, then you begin to have partial understanding. The more you read it, the more you grow in Christ, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, eventually you have full understanding. That is what Solomon said. The path of life leads upwards for the righteous and keeping them from going down to hell. We need to grow, brother and sister. That's why Peter said that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, we all need to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and also grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why a lot of Christians, when they're not willing to read the Bible. You know why they're not willing to read the Bible? Because they only have partial understanding, and they don't understand. They don't realize that the more you read, the more you hide God's word within your heart, eventually you will grow. We all have to grow like that. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I talk about, turn to 2 Peter 3:18. Peter encouraged the Jewish people that who received his second letter. Ask them to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and ask them to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you grow. Take a look at other preachers. The second last book is Jude. It's Jesus' half-brother. He said that, verse 20, you, dear friends, fill yourself up in your most holy faith. Fill yourself up in your most holy faith. That means grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and pray in the Holy Spirit, and keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. If you didn't do verse 20 to 21, then you have no ability to do verse 22 to 23. God expects you to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be merciful to those who doubt. You can snatch others from the fire and save them. And to others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. If you don't grow, you cannot even save yourself, nor can you save others. You need to grow. Not just Peter said that. Jude said that. And now Paul saying the same thing. He said that. For we do not write you anything you cannot read. You can read that, but you don't read. You have already become a believer. Although you have partial understanding, come on, give me a break. You know, do you remember you go to university? Some of the material that if the professor cover that you learned in high school, you despise the professor. Wait until the professor tell you something that you can't even catch that. You say, wow, what is that? You know, but you can give up or you can go home and study that. When you overcome that, you become overcomer. Don't tell me you keep going just like a kindergarten, okay, man? You need to grow. You need to study that. You know, just like as an engineer, you know, you can fool around, but if you don't know the building code, in a meeting you can say all kind of advice, your advice is bad, man. It's deceitful. Because you have nothing to back you up for what you say. The plan of a righteous man is just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful, because you have no truth to back you up of what you say. Eventually, people find it out, they're going to fire you. As an engineer, you got to know the building code. As a Christian, you need to know the Bible. Everybody say? And Paul said that, we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And then Paul said that, you know, this portion of the scripture, verse 13 and 14, is better than the Chinese translation. The English translation is very, very good. You write down 2 Peter, right? 3:18, you also write Jude, right? Verse 20, right? All the way to 24, right? I want you to write down 2:21, 1 John. All these pastors, godly pastors, all these people say the same thing. Don't give yourself any excuse. Verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth. I write to you because you do know the truth. That means the scripture is for us to read. Scripture is for us to understand. But how can I have a deeper understanding, a full understanding, to grow from not knowing it, not understand, to partial understand, and later on to a full understanding? I give you the key. The key is Ezra 7:10. Ezra devoted himself to do three things. Study the truth, study the law of God, number one. Number two, he put it into practice. He do it. Number three, he teach other people. That's how you grow to maturity. From not knowing to knowing, and once you know, and full understanding of what scripture is all about. 7:10, for Ezra has devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching is decree and law in Israel. Not teaching about himself, teaching God's word. And that's how the more you teach, the more you know. You realize all these godly people do the same thing. You follow them, you become wise. If you follow the fool, foolish man, you suffer harm. Okay. I think I make myself clear. Then Paul say that, I hope that as you have understood us in part, that means partial understanding right now, but don't give up. You will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow, that's loaded with word. I got to take it apart and explain it to you bit by bit. Paul said that, I hope that as you have understood us in part, you only have partial understanding. Why you have partial understanding? Go back. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Brother, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk. That milk is spiritual milk. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. When you are not ready, you are not ready for solid food, you only get partial understanding of the scripture right beside solid food. I want you to go to Hebrew chapter 5, verse 11 to 14. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. When people are slow to learn, he only get partial understanding of the scripture. In fact, those by this time, you ought to be teacher. You need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. That means they are not growing. You need milk, not solid food. All these pastors talk about milk and solid food. You know, how about I do it this way? I encourage the mother of this church, when you go home tonight, you say to all those people who eat your meal, you say, today, no solid food. I give you goat meal, cow meal, a meal from the can, and sure. Tonight is all milk, no steak. All right? And I bet cow gonna say, what is this? Am I right, cow? You say, what is this? What is this? Am I a baby? You're feeding me over again, you know what I mean? Unfortunately, a lot of Christians in the church, they like milk. They don't read the Bible. They have no understanding. They feel power of that. They brag about that. David, you like milk? Or you like solid food? You say you like solid food. Your sister is the witness, okay? Make sure in the coming 7 days, did he eat solid food? All right? Not 7 days, 14 days. Okay? And then I'm going to ask you, take a look at Hebrew You need milk, not solid food. Verse 13, anyone who lives on milk being still an infant and is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. If you are not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, you are not mature. You cannot distinguish good from evil. Verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, and who by constant use keep on eating the solid food, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You say, Pastor John, why should I train myself to distinguish good from evil? I tell you in a negative way. You write down Isaiah 5:20. If you have no distinction, if you cannot distinguish good from evil, light from darkness, sweet from bitter, woe to you. You harm yourself. If you can distinguish good from evil, you are a mature Christian. The good thing is, gradually, you have full understanding of the scripture. That's good. Then you can help other people. You save yourself first, then you can save other people. Then you won't see Jesus Christ with an empty handle. You're going to bear a lot of fruit. When you bear a lot of fruit with God's truth, God say you try to glorify me, honor me, and let me honor your life and set you apart and bless you. Is it good? It's no good to have partial understanding. This is a process. Now, go back. How would Paul hope that? He says the wishful hoping. In verse 13, and I hope that as you have understood us in part, and you will come to understand fully, how would he have assurance of them? Is he trying to please the people that he's serving? When you have a full understanding of the scripture, then you can boast of us. Who are they? Paul, Timothy, and Silas. You can boast of the preacher just as the preacher will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. And if the preacher boasts of you in the day of the Lord Jesus, that means in the judgment time, if Paul say, I boast of Joyce, I boast of Sally, wow, good for you. If Paul say that I boast of you in the judgment, in the day of the Lord, that means in the judgment of the Lord, that means you not only are saved, you'll be richly rewarded. How would Paul know that? I tell you why, how he know that. Because he did think, he has a clear conscience, he did think in the holiness and in the sincerity that come from God. He do it with integrity. He do it based upon the truth. Because the plan of the righteous man are just. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 18. Do you remember when Paul faced the persecution, he threw the towel, say that, I'm not going to preach to you anymore. 18:5, that is the ministry that he did in Corinth. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when the Jews opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, your blood be on your own head, and I am clear of my responsibility, and from now on I will go on to the Gentiles. I'm not going to preach to you, I'm going to preach to the Gentiles, because I'm called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Verse 7. Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinth who heard him believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack and harm you because I have many people in this city. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. If Jesus Christ promised to Paul, I have many people in this city, that means your ministry will never be made. Because of that, Paul said that. Although, from not understanding the scripture, that's why you go to synagogue, but now a priest in the synagogue to pick you out, now you have partial understanding, but Paul said that I want you to have a full understanding. I want you to grow to maturity. And I know you will grow. Because God said, I have many people. When God spoke to him, not give up. Your ministry will never be in vain. Because this is the place I want you to be. And he said that I boast of you now. And I pray that you're going to boast of me in the future. He's a good pastor. He knows God's word. He hides it within his heart. He didn't give up. Make sure your pastor will boast of you in the day of the Lord. So I read that one more time in verse 13, and I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully. And that when you have a full understanding, you will no longer slander Paul, spoke something that's abusive to Paul. You will not do that. I want you to write that down. You should feel proud of your pastor who ministered to you, that who feed you with the word of God. If you slander him, he will do you no good. You'll be in deep trouble. I give you some illustration. Take a look at what Paul, take a look at what David said. David, in Psalm 15, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill, he whose walk is blameless, that means he walked with integrity, he conduct himself in holiness and sincerity that come from God, and who does what is right, does what is right. You write down Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. The plan of a righteous man are just. That if you do what is right, you plan what is right, you can live in God, because God lives in you. And who speak the truth from his heart, not lie. Verse 3. Who has no slander on his tongue, and who does his neighbor no wrong. Whatever you plan, not for your own good, for the good of your neighbor. And cast no slur on his fellow man. And this is the person who can dwell in God's sanctuary, who may live on the holy hill. These are the people, you write that down in verse 1, can enter in the millennium kingdom. I tell you the negative way. And King David say that in Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of your love and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. when will you come to me? I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no wild thing. The deed of faithless men I hate. Faithless men are the worldly men I hate. And they will not cling to me. Men of perverse heart shall be far from me, and I will have nothing to do with evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. David can enter the millennial kingdom. The faithful one can enter the millennial kingdom. He who walks is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. Right beside in the land is in the millennial kingdom. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Make sure now you experience Emmanuel, God with you. Make sure you can dwell in the sanctuary, live in the holy hill, and can see Jesus in the millennial kingdom. Make sure you can do it. Time is flying so quick, okay? When a Christian grows from not knowing the scripture to partial knowing to the full knowing, then he will do the will of the Lord. He won't slander the people who minister to him. Because he didn't say things that you like to hear. He's telling you the truth. I hope that you have understood us in part, and you will come to understand fully, and that when you have a full understanding of the scripture, then you can boast of Paul, Timothy, and Silas, just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Brother and sister, can you boast of the people who minister to you? If you can do it, the pastor will boast of you in the day of judgment. You despise him. You don't bring your friends to see. Am I right? So you won't bear fruit. He will do you no good. I believe the fellow called John, who he come from another church, he come to our church and listen and use our material to teach that church. And one day, he tell the pastor, could you invite Pastor John to our fellowship? And that pastor say, we don't have the budget for that. And John said, there's no charge there. If he feel ashamed of me, he won't bring me to his own church. Think about that. Think about what have you done. Don't ever think wishful thinking that, oh, I pray, I hope that in the day of the Lord, whoever ministered to me will boast of you. Unless you feel powerful. Am I right? Don't have a wishful thinking, okay? Don't dream, okay? Your dream has to base upon the fact. The fact is, if you want the pastor to boast of you in the days of judgment, make sure you boast of him. You don't slander him. You don't say, oh, this is no good, that is no good. don't do that. When you say that, do you say with a clear conscience, or do you say with the worldly wisdom that cause envy and division? Think about that. Two kind of wisdom. All right? Everybody think? I want to finish the point number one first, okay? Verse 15. Because I was confident of this. What kind of confidence? He said, I'm confident that we will boast of you in the days of the Lord Jesus. We will boast of you in the judgment time. We know that. When I minister to you, just like what Isaiah has said in Isaiah 55, as verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, if God tells me, don't leave the city of Corinth, there are many people of mine in this place, keep on preaching to them, and Paul, do not give up. And keep on doing it. Timothy, same thing. Titus, same thing, right? And when they keep on preaching the word of God, and you know, from not understanding the scripture, they become partial understanding, eventually they have a full understanding of the scripture. When you have full understanding of scripture, you're going to feel proud of the pastor who ministers to you. Just like the Corinth feel proud of what Paul is preaching to them. And verse 15, because I was confident of this, I know that I will boast of you in the day of the Lord. So that's why I got to keep on preaching the word of God to you. That's why I plan to visit you first, so that you might benefit twice. What does it mean by benefit twice? Paul wanted to go to Macedonia. And this is Corinth. And Paul said that I will visit you first on the way to Macedonia. When I come back from Macedonia, I come back to you in Corinth. That means I visited you twice. Second time and third time. What's the number one time? First time? Your first time is at 18. Now when he writes the 2 Corinthians, Paul has already visited this place second time, because Paul wanted to go to Macedonia, pass by Corinth. And Paul said that, I want to come back. That's my planning. I want to come back so that you get benefit twice. And then Paul said, I plan to visit you on my way to Macedonia and will come back to you from Macedonia. That means he will visit. He has visited Corinth in Acts 18 the first time. Second time is verse 16, the first part. On his way to Macedonia, he visited Corinth. But on his way back, he will come back to Corinth. And that is planning. Then to have you send me on my way to Judea. And Paul said that when I plan this, do I do it lightly? Do I flicker? Do I change my mind? No. He planned them. The plan of a righteous man are just. He planned it according to God's way. Because God said to him, stay there. There are many people of mine. I will protect you. He believed in God's word. That's why he planned according to what he was told. He didn't plan it lightly. He didn't flicker.
Or do I make my plan in a worldly manner?
No. He makes his plan based upon the word of God in Acts 18. So that in the same breath, I say yes, yes, and no, no. I only cover the first part of the sermon. Do you remember what's the first part? Whatever you do, when someone criticizes you, slander you, you make sure you have a clear conscience. Make sure you get grace from God. Make sure you conduct yourself not in a worldly wisdom, conduct yourself in the heavenly wisdom according to God's word, with sincerity, integrity, and holiness. Whatever you do, people will criticize you because they don't know what is in your heart, especially when you say things not in a worldly way. According to John chapter 15, the worldly people love to hear the worldly way. According to that is Gospel of John chapter 15, 1 John chapter 4 say the same thing. The worldly people listen to the worldly point of view. Godly people listen to God's truth. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that when we face persecution, slander, I pray that you help us how to respond in a godly way, in a way that is pleasing in your sight, that we have a clear conscience. When we see you face to face, we know we're going to get blessing from you. When Paul had this confidence, when Paul had this kind of boast, and I pray that you give us the same kind of confidence. Lord, unless you read your scripture, unless we understand, unless the Holy Spirit tell us and open our eyes, enlighten us, unless the Heavenly Father give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, no way we have a deeper understanding of who you are and what you plan in our life. And help us to do it in the right way, so that we can receive blessing from you. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.